Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
How many of you in this place know that you are not called to just be normal? I suppose, what is your definition of normal? I just want to say that if I have a lisp, it's not because I do speak like that. We're trying different mics at the moment, and the sound guys are killing me. Amen. So just bear with me if you hear a th, and it's not supposed to be like that. Yeah, it doesn't sound like that. Amen. So we are not called to be normal Christians. As I said earlier on, we've been given a great privilege to be in the priesthood of God, where we have access to the kingdom, we have access to His presence. We are not only called to be priests, but we are also called to be kings. We are called to be priests and kings unto our God, a royal priesthood. That means that we operate as people that have been chosen by God, a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a holy nation set apart to serve Him, to do His will, to live our lives for Him. That means that we should live a victorious life. I don't know if you've realized, but when Jesus was on earth, He was on this earth, and even though He was very much a servant, He was also a king. Amen. And it's incredible, because I was in the youth group on Wednesday night with the guys, and we had a great time. And we were talking about, you know, how in the book of Revelation, it speaks about the 24 elders casting their crowns before the Lord. And that is so powerful, because the Bible speaks about you will get crowns as you serve the Lord. I don't know if you know that. But there are crowns that you get, crowns of righteousness. You get, there's a crown for someone who leads people to the Lord. There are various crowns that are given to us as we serve God. When we go to heaven, that's part of your reward. Some of you think you're going to just float around on clouds in heaven. That's not true. Amen. God actually has an incredible plan for us outside of this earth. You live on this earth for maybe 100 years. If you're very blessed and you really listen to your parents, amen, then you'll maybe make 100 years. If you didn't listen to your parents, best you start interceding, brother. Amen. I listen to my parents. I'm going to live a long life. Amen. Praise God. So we see that even as we know this earth, we will live on this earth for maybe 80, 90, 100 years. But there's even going to be a season which is called the millennial reign, where we'll come back to earth and we'll live on this earth for 1,000 years. That's a long time. So when you come back with the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth, this is all in the book of Revelation. I will do a series soon on the end times again. Okay, I feel really led in my spirit to do a series on the end times so I can teach you about this stuff. It's so powerful when you realize what your destiny is, your destination, and how powerful it really is. So many people are so afraid of death, but death is not the final answer. Death is only the beginning. I'm going to say that again. Death is only the beginning. If you're a believer, your perception of death on this earth will change. There are people sitting here in this room, and you are so afraid to die because you're so scared of what's going to happen to you when you die. When you die, if you serve the Lord, you will be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you will step into ultimate destiny. It's a great destination. Amen. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you're not serving the Lord, you should be terrified, because you're going to hell. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way." I heard a story I'm going to try my best to remember the story. So if it's not accurate, forgive me. But the story went something like this. There was a preacher who was on an airplane next to a lady. And while she was flying on this airplane, the lady shared with the preacher that she's an atheist. She doesn't believe in God. While they were flying on the plane, something went wrong with the engine. And the plane started to go down. While the plane started to go down, this woman began to cry out, "Oh God, oh God, help me." And the preacher turned to him and said, I thought you don't believe in God. He didn't worry. He knew where he was going. That means you must all become preachers. Amen. And you don't have to worry about nothing. Amen. It's a joke, guys. Okay, it's just a joke. Some preachers are going, yeah, amen. Let's not go there. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. And then all of a sudden, this woman's crying out to God. Why? Because he's the only way. Jesus is the only way. So many people go through this life trying all kinds of different things, desperate for some kind of something, drugs, sex, alcohol, whatever, a different wife, a different business, a different partner, whatever, because they have something unfulfilled, of course, because they've been created to worship and to serve God. When you do that, when you are in alignment with God, everything changes. Everything shifts. The only time I get myself or catch myself going down into a pit of depression or whatever it is when I'm not spending time in the presence of God. When I'm not with Him. When I'm not serving Him. When I'm not following Him. If I don't do that, I find myself easily being distracted by the things of this world, and my mind begins to go all over the place. Amen. I hope I'm not the only one. Amen. So that's not my sermon, but anyway, let's get into it this morning. James 4, verse number 7, a popular, familiar scripture, especially in churches like ours. Amen. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, this is so important right now because we've just come out of a whole series on spiritual warfare, but specifically the full armor of God, teaching us how to stand when the enemy attacks us, right? I've taught you how to stand. Put on the full armor of God. Clothe yourself with the armor. And you can stand when you know how to pray, when you understand peace, when you understand righteousness, when you understand what you are and who you are in Christ and you apply it to your life, you will be able to stand. But this scripture has something very powerful in it. Submit to God. So in other words, do what God says you must do. Submit to Him. Serve Him. Worship Him. So many Christians, so many people come into the kingdom of God by believing in Jesus, but not having any idea what submission means. In other words, they don't serve Him. They don't submit to Him as Lord of their lives. So only little parts of their lives believe in God, and the rest of their life lives just like normal. But the Bible says, in order for us to be able to resist the devil, we must submit to God. When we submit to Him, when we submit to His Word, when we submit to His Lordship, that's when we can resist the devil. Now, this scripture is powerful because it says, and when you do this, when you submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee. How many in this room can say honestly, now everybody look forward, don't look at your neighbor. It feels like sometimes that the devil just doesn't leave you alone. That's nothing to be excited about, my brother. Amen. It's hard. Sometimes it's a struggle, guys. It feels like he's coming at you from every side. Like he's just not leaving you alone. So this morning, I want to teach you a principle that will help you to be positioned in a posture where the devil will flee. Amen. I've taught you how to stand. I've taught you how to resist. But how many in this place say, Pastor Alex, I want the devil to flee out of my marriage. I want the devil to flee away from my children. I want the devil to flee away from my business. I want the devil to flee in my life. Amen. Amen. So let's go to Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. It is such an honor for me to be your pastor, church. I cannot tell you how honored I am, how thankful I am to God, and what a privilege it is for me. Naomi and I sat this morning and we just said, how did this happen? How did we end up two Africans? I am African American. Amen. I am a real African American. Okay, I got you. Amen. I came here from the other shores of Africa. How did we end up in Vero Beach? We're so thankful. It is such an honor for us to serve you in this house, to be a part of what God is doing in this city and in our lives. And I can tell you, this is only the beginning. God is going to take you, because you are the body. He's going to take you, and He's going to take you out of the darkness into His light. And when He takes you into light, that light is so contagious. That light changes people's lives. And that's my desire as your pastor, to see people's lives change. Amen. Okay, Matthew 4, verses 1 to 11. I don't know what's going on this morning. Amen. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. It's interesting that I just want to, you know, I've said this before, but it's just so important to take note that Jesus was actually drove. It says in the original language, he was driven. He was drove. In other words, the Holy Spirit like really pushed him into the wilderness for what? To be tempted by the devil. Because it's important for you. There are times and seasons in order for you to be able to grow. I don't care what anybody says, guys. You go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. In order for you to grow, there are times and seasons where you will be tested. You will be tested. God doesn't do the testing. The enemy does the testing, but God allows it so that it can develop and build you. He believes in you. He won't allow the enemy to test you beyond what you can handle. You can handle it. What you're going through right now, you can handle it. You have everything in you to be able to handle it. The question is, are you fighting on your own, or are you letting Him fight on your behalf? Amen. So he was tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterwards, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now, I've taught you that this whole thing that takes place, and part of your greatest attack, will be when it comes to your identity. The question is, when you understand your identity, your true identity is your identity in Christ. Because in your own strength, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. The full armor of God. So it's in God, in Christ, your destiny and purpose, who you really are is in Him. So your identity comes from Him. You cannot fight against powers and principalities with carnal weapons. You have to fight with spiritual weapons, right? So it's all about identity. But you must know your identity in Christ. So in other words, it's not, "I am Joe Soap and I am the lawyer." No. It's, you are a child of God. You are called and anointed. You are a king and a priest. Yes, part of your purpose is to be the most awesome lawyer or doctor or whatever you are that you can be. And He will use you there. That's part of the ground that you have to take territory in. Amen. But your identity is in Christ. Your identity is in God, the Father, who takes care of you, who nurtures you, who develops you, who calls you a son, who has adopted you. Amen. That is your identity. So the devil came and tried to challenge Jesus with his identity. Jesus knew exactly how to answer the devil. How did he do that? With the word. So the word used the word against the devil. Amen. Even though the devil used the word against the word. Now, I've taught you about this, so I don't want to go into this morning, but the truth is that the enemy will also come with the word. That's why be careful. It's not what they say. It's what is their fruit. What is their fruit? That's how you know where it's coming from. Two questions I always ask. When anybody comes to me, who are you? Where do you come from? I need to know where you come from. If you're in the church and you want to be used by God, it's important for me to know. I will not bring anyone into this church unless I know where they come from, who their covering is, and who they're in relationship with, so that I can see the fruit of those ministries. If I can't see the fruit of those ministries, I can't bring someone onto this platform. Does that make sense, guys? So the enemy's challenging Jesus on his identity. But Jesus has already challenged him back and basically stood his ground, knowing who he is and knowing how to take scripture in context and say it back to the devil. But watch what he's about to say. Let's read again. Verse number 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And worship me. In this life, you have been created to worship. As a being, as a spiritual being, even as a human being, you have been created to worship. The question is not if you will worship. The question is, what are you worshiping? And what you worship will affect everything that you are. It will affect everything that you are. So the devil tempted him and tested him with identity, but Jesus knew who he was. So Satan took him up and showed him everything and said, you can have it all. I'll give it to you. Because Satan wasn't interested in the kingdoms of this world. All he wanted was to be worshipped. He wanted the Son of God to go down on his knees and to worship him. But Jesus, of course, didn't do that. Amen. Because he's Jesus. Amen. Now watch. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now watch. When Jesus tells him who he worships, it's at that moment that the Bible says, then the devil left him. Then the devil left him. And that's the title of my sermon this morning. Then the devil left him. Once you know your identity in Christ, it will be important for you to set yourself in a posture of worship. As I said earlier on, it's not what you worship. It's not who you, it's who you worship that will determine who you are. Now watch this. Luke 10 verse 27 says this. We all know this scripture so well. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandment, that we should love God. It says that we should love him with our whole hearts, that we should love him with our whole soul, that we should love him with our whole strength, that we should love him with our whole mind, right? That means, church, that in order for us to truly love God, we have to do it with every part of ourselves. Spirit, soul, and body. You are a spirit, a soul, and a body. You have a soul. You have a mind. You have a heart. You have a will. You have emotions. The Bible says, It doesn't say that you must serve the Lord only like this. It says you must serve the Lord with your whole heart. You must serve the Lord with your whole soul. And just in case you're not sure if the soul is the mind, you must serve the Lord with your whole mind. The whole mind, the soul, your emotion, your will, your intellect, everything that you are. You must serve Him with everything that you are, not only a portion of it. Jesus said to Satan, "Listen, Satan, who do you think you are? I'm not going to bow down to you. There's only one that I worship, and He is Jehovah. I worship the King of glory. I worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the only one that I serve. He's the only one that I serve." Worship is always associated to the attitude of the body. In other words, in order for you to be a true worshiper, in order for you to really worship, don't tell me that you can just... There must be something. I'm not saying you need to be expressive like me and lift your hands, but at least bow your head, at least go into a posture of reverence. If you are too proud to even put your head down when it comes to worshiping, there's something wrong. That means it's not your whole heart. That means it's not your whole soul. That means it's not your whole mind. Don't tell me I mustn't worship with my emotions. Don't tell me I mustn't worship with my will. Don't tell me I mustn't serve Him with every part of me. Every part. Every part. I worship with every part. Amen. Are you guys okay here in Vero Beach? Now let me show you a few things, a few examples of how powerful worship is. And when we see an expression of worship, something seems to occur over and over. Watch this now. Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. Verse number 14. 1 Samuel 16, verse number 14. I'm going to be reading from verse 14 to 23, for those of you that are taking notes. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." So Saul was not pleasing the Lord. He didn't listen to God. He disobeyed God, listened to the people, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. "And a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said to him, 'Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hands. And when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." And he shall, let's go back and read that again. Verse 16. "And your master now command your servant who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand. And when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him." Everybody say, "The Lord is with him." "Therefore Saul sent a messenger to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David, who is with the sheep.' And Jesse took a donkey, loaded it with bread, a skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul said to Jesse, saying, 'Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight.'" Now watch. "And so it was, whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, that David would come and take the harp and play it with his hands. Then Saul would become refreshed well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him." The distressing spirit, the spirit that was coming to plague him, to harass him, to make him uncomfortable. As soon as David began to worship God, once again, a familiar thing begins to take place. Once worship begins to go before the Lord, as soon as we begin to get ourselves into a true posture of worship, we've been taught how to stand. We've been taught how to worship. We've been taught how to pray. Now we need to learn how to get ourselves into a posture of true worship. And when we get ourselves into a posture of true worship, the enemy does not hang around. You see, it is a total contradiction to the fallen nature. Because the fallen nature, the nature of man, does not want to worship anything but himself or something that pleases him. But the nature of God, once we get into a posture with the Spirit of God, we begin to worship him. And when we do that, every plan of the enemy begins to just crumble. Now watch. Let's go to Mark 5, verse number 1. Mark 5, verse number 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadareans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. This is a wild dude. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and did what? When he saw Jesus, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out. Now, what you need to understand is, first of all, in verse number 6, the man saw Jesus and ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice. Now, this is not the man. Now, it's the demon speaking. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it to the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, what you need to understand, first of all, is that they tried to bind this guy with chains. They tried to take him, they tried to chain him, they put him in the mountains, but they were terrified of him. Listen, it says that he had around 2,000 demons. Do you know how much sin must have been in this man's life for him to have 2,000 demons? It's a spirit of this and a spirit of that and a spirit of this and a spirit of that and a spirit of that and a spirit of that and this and that and this. We're talking about thousands of issues in this man's life, to the point where his mind was no longer right. To the point where he could no longer think right. He could no longer sleep. He was trying to destroy himself. And the law could not change him. The law could not change him. One more time. The law could not change him. Listen, church. You must have the word in you to be able to speak life. Because if you don't have the word, you will speak rubbish. Amen. But when you have the word and the spirit, you change into the other man. And your representation is not you. Your representation is Jesus. And when you go there in the spirit and the might and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't take the law. You take the person of Jesus to this person. And when Jesus walked in there, when he walked in there, the word of God, the law and everything, grace, everything in him, he walked in there and this man saw him bound by demons. The demons couldn't handle it anymore. And this man saw him and saw the Savior, the Son of God. And he ran to him and he fell down at his feet and he worshiped him. He didn't need classes. He didn't need deliverance classes. He didn't need inner healing classes. All he had to do was fall down on his knees and begin to worship the Lord of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the only one true Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. When you get yourself into a posture of true worship, everything changes. You want your mind to come right. Get yourself into a posture of worship. You want things to come right in your marriage. Get yourself into a posture of worship because you worship what you serve. You worship what you serve. This man knew the only answer, the only solution to fix everything that's going crazy in his life was walking out of the boat, coming up from the water. And this man saw him and he knew there's no other way. And I love what the Bible says, that when they saw him again, he was in his right mind. He was in his right mind. Oh, Pastor, I don't know what to do about the fear I have. Worship. I don't know what to do about the unforgiveness that I have. Worship. You see, you can't not forgive and tell me that you worship God. Because you're basically saying, I don't forgive. So I place my rights over what Jesus did for me. You don't deserve forgiveness. If you think you do, you're in trouble. Because I know I don't. It's by grace. And we have to be like him. And when we start to love like he loves, we have to let it go. And so the only way when we truly let it go is we surrender our lives, which causes us to go into a posture of worship. True worship. There was no 24 sessions of counseling. All that needed to happen was this individual had to recognize the Son of God and begin to change his mind and begin to worship. And right there and right then, suddenly deliverance came, healing came, fear went, all 2,000 demons. Phew. They didn't say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, listen, we don't really feel like leaving. They said to Jesus, in this environment, worshiping you as the King of kings and Lord of lords, please put us in the pigs because we know we ain't staying here. Amen. Now, what happens to us? Because we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we have the Spirit of God in us, but it's not quite the same, right? It's not quite the same. It's the same, but it's not the same. Because, I mean, I know some people will immediately think, well, you know, you're not Jesus and I'm not Jesus. So, you know, only Jesus could do that. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I want to share a story with you where we see three individuals that made a decision not to worship the things of this world or the idols set before them. How many of you know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were given an instruction. All the people were given an instruction to worship the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had established. Nebuchadnezzar had built an idol and said that the people must bow down to that idol. Now, I want you to take note, church. How did the people know that these men refused to worship that idol? Because they did not bow down to the idol. They did not go down on their knees. They did not change their posture. So it was obvious that they refused to worship that idol. Don't tell me that you don't need to worship by changing your posture. In order for you to become a worshiper, it requires you to give your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your emotions, your feelings, everything. You don't have to be expressive like me. I'm different. Amen. But you must be able to get yourself to a position where at least you can bow your head and drop your countenance and just say, Lord, I worship you. I exalt you. I magnify you. The way that they knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not worship the idol was because they were not willing to bow down. Because the only one that they were willing to bow down to was the Lord of glory. They were not willing to drop their countenance, to drop their posture, to lower their bodies to the ground, to worship any idol, to worship any god, only the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar got angry and threw these three men into a fire that was so hot that when they tried to put them in, even the people putting them in burnt. That's how bad it was. It was so hot. Now watch what happens. Daniel 3, verse 24 says this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O God. Now watch. Look, he said, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Worship causes the King of Kings to be in your midst, to be in your presence. He's the one who comes. You may not be Jesus, but when you worship him, he is right there with you, receiving your worship, receiving your praise, receiving the honor, receiving the glory. If you choose to make a decision to worship him, to serve him with all of your heart, there will be the fourth man, the Son of God, that will be right there with you. And the same way that Jesus went to the madman and stood there and they worshiped, and as he worshiped, the demons left. I can tell you right now, the problem in your marriage, the problem in your business, the problem with your children, the problem that you're suffering with will be broken. The power of the enemy will be broken by the fourth man in the fire.
Oh, well, you know, I don't have to worship.
You will stay depressed.
Oh, yeah, I don't have to worship.
You will stay where you are. Worship or serve the Lord with all of your heart and all of your strength, with all of your mind, with everything. If you believe and you do that, the greatest commandment of all, the devil cannot hang around you. Time and time again, when someone begins to worship, the enemy goes. Listen, Pastor Alex is not the answer to your problems. Only Jesus can touch you. Only Jesus can heal you. Only Jesus can deliver you and save you and touch you. This morning in this place, so many of us, I've been there, guys. I get in my life, become so distracted by all the things that's going on in my life, and I don't really give my worship to Him the way that I should. Serving God is not a religion. It's a relationship. And listen, the wonderful thing about God is you can't outgive Him. So when you worship Him, He reciprocates with love and peace and joy and healing. And the one thing Satan cannot stand is the presence of God. Because he's exposed in the presence. He can come and be an angel of light, like an angel of light, but when the presence of God comes in the room, he is exposed for what he is. Fear, hurt, unforgiveness, all that stuff is a spirit that wants to destroy your life. You don't have to serve, or you don't have to follow, or you don't have to allow that spirit to have power in your life anymore. This morning, in this house, we are going to stand. Everybody, let's stand. Even in the back, stand. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. And let's lift our voices. Let's lift our hands. And in this place this morning, let's declare to Him that with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, we serve You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. For You are our only God. Father, I pray this morning with lifted hands in this congregation that You will touch every person. Father, we bow the knees of our hearts to You this morning. We bow the knees of our natural selves to You this morning. We change our posture this morning, Father. And I pray, Lord, that as we do it, like it was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that You will arrive on the scene and no devil from hell will have any right in our lives, not in our marriages, not in our businesses, no more depression. I take authority over You, You spirit of depression. I break Your power. I take authority over You, You spirit of lesbianism. I bind You now. I break Your power. I take authority over You, You foul spirit that desires to come against the people, that desires to steal from their businesses. I break Your power in a posture of worship. Come on, church, worship. Come on, cry out to Him this morning. The more you cry out, the more He responds. Come on, cry out, cry out, cry out. Come on, let me hear you. Yeah, we worship You. We worship You, we worship You. Come on, church. Like the man who is desperate, like the madman of Madera, who is desperate like that. Oh, hallelujah! We worship You, every part of me, Lord, every part of us, Lord. We worship You this morning in this place. No more, Lord, no more the things of this world. We choose You, Lord. We choose You, Lord. We choose You, Lord. You are our God. We will not bow down to the idols of this world. We will not bow down to those things of this world. We bow down to You, Lord, with everything inside of us. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The only name that has power. The only name that sets you free. The only name that brings deliverance. The only name by which you can be saved. There is only one name. His name is Jesus. Now, let's just intimately worship Him for just a minute, guys. I'm going to close in just a minute. Let's sing. Let's worship Him. so, Father, this morning in this place, we are so thankful to you. What an honor we have that we can worship you, that we can praise you, that we can serve you with all of our hearts, with all of our strength, with all of our minds, with every part of us, Father. Lord, you take control. My life is yours, Lord. Our lives, they are yours. Lord, use us to do whatever you want to do. Have your way, Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we thank you. We love you. We worship you. And we praise you right now in this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I pray, Father, I set myself in agreement with these precious people watching online and that are here this morning, that Father, as they do this act of surrender, this act of worship towards your throne this morning, that the power of the enemy will be broken and lifted right now in Jesus' name. Right now, Father, restore the marriages, Father. Restore the children, Father. Restore the businesses. Do whatever you need to do, Father, but restore them, Lord. Father, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. And we love you so much, Father. We love you so much, Lord. Oh God, we love you so much. For there is none like you. There is none like you. Father, your word says that even the rocks cry out, oh God. But why should the rocks cry out when we can cry out and we can make a joyful noise to our Lord? We can make a joyful noise to our Lord. We can give a shout of praise to our King. We can lift our voices and give a shout of praise to the Lord of glory in this place this morning. Yeah! Come on, let's give a shout of praise. Yeah! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so, Father, we give you thanks for what you have done in this place this morning. Touch the untouched. Heal those who need healing. Done whatever it is, Father, that you've desired to do. You've done it because you are here in this place. Father, only one thing I ask this morning from you, that we will not be the same. That the word will change us. That it will change us, Lord. Once again, all the glory, the honor, and the praise belongs to you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit be with every one of you as you leave this place this morning. Go in the peace of God. Go in the power of His might. And know that His power and His grace will be sufficient for you to do whatever is necessary in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.